The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you, Hal?
Excellent, thank you. Thank you for being so accommodating and speaking to us an hour early. I guess that means that you can start with the wine a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for you, I slay dragons and I move mountains.
Thank you.
But only for you.
And it is greatly, greatly appreciated. In fact, I suspect that we're going to have a few listeners that who turn on their radio, tune into us at 5:10 and aren't so happy. But you know, we'll deal with the fallout on that side. Rolly, let's take a look at some of the news that's happening across Israel. Rivlin has warned against measures that will harm Israeli democracy. Tell us about this.
Well, yesterday opened the winter session of the Knesset to a lot of fanfare, but also to a lot of controversy, because the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, has put forward what he calls the immunity bill, which prevents any sitting Prime Minister from facing any kind of charges during his tenure. And as you can imagine, this came under severe criticism, not only from President Reuven Rivlin, but also from other members of Knesset, as well as the Attorney General. And I have to say, as a journalist, I tend to agree with them. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a democracy, and nobody can be above the law.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So how will this play out?
Well, basically, what this would entail is that Benjamin Netanyahu, who, as we know, is under investigation for corruption charges, he may have to face inquiries, and he may have to, you know, leave his post. And to try and prevent this, he has pushed for this measure to take place. And it is seen by a lot of us as extremely anti-democratic. It also affects the free media and the free media's ability to report or to shine a light on anything we see as contrary to democracy. And Rivlin said, you know, in a very passionate speech, he said, the Knesset is the representative of the sovereign, the people of Israel, the entire people of Israel. And in this house, we must remember that it is the people we must live up to, the wonderful people who we have been privileged to serve and represent. So, and he went on to say that political leaders are weakening state institutions by attacking them for narrow political gain. So whether they are attacking the Supreme Court or politicians or security forces or even the IDF, they need to stop politicizing these issues and remember that they serve the people.
It's really interesting, because if we look at a situation here in South Africa where we have rampant corruption in government, and I'm not comparing one with the other, although corruption exists in the Israeli government as well as every other government around the world, the saving grace, certainly, of the country will ultimately have been the free press. You fiddle with that, and I can't even imagine what would happen.
Now, absolutely. A free press is one of the great bastions of a democracy. And Israel has always been, in fact, Israel has been lauded by institutions like Freedom House for having a free press. And I know some of us get annoyed that, you know, perhaps sometimes the press is a little too free, but that's what exists in a democracy. You know, whether you like it or not, it is the press's democratic right to have their opinion. I know sometimes, myself included, a lot of us get angry when it seems to go over the line. You know, certain publications are perhaps seen as anti-Zionist
You can say Haaretz.
You know, no names mentioned, Haaretz, are seen as contrary to our Zionist tenets, and sometimes even traitorous to the state in the rhetoric that they put forward. But, you know, we do need to have a free press. I know a lot of us criticize organizations like Maxim Watch and our various others, but thank goodness Israel, as other democracies, have watchdogs in place. Thank goodness our state institutions, like the army, do have the mechanisms in place where if something happens and it doesn't, it's not within the purity of arms or the ethics of the army, these things are investigated, and it's something that we can be very, very proud of to have in Israel, and this extends to our government and to those elected officials as well. I mean, just a few years ago, President Katsav was found guilty of rape. He was put into jail. Ehud Olmert, also a former prime minister, was found guilty of corruption. He has served his time in prison. So, you know, these are things that I think ordinary Israeli citizens and our families in the diaspora can be very, very proud of.
Absolutely right. And although we can't be proud of the behavior, we can certainly be proud that these things are dealt with in the same way that it would be dealt with for any citizen of the country. Jason Greenblatt has slammed Hamas for bringing misery to the people of Gaza. This is a very important statement.
Well, this is it. And he's actually stepped up his rhetoric against Hamas. And he said yesterday, he says that, and he said this on Twitter, he says, Hamas has only brought ruin and misery to Palestinians, now begs Iran for help and again vows to destroy Israel. So I think the jig is up. You know, a lot of people, including the media in South Africa, have been saying, yes, but you can't say that Hamas are a terrorist group because they've changed their charter. They've changed the wording of the charter, they've softened the rhetoric.
Right.
But, you know, no sooner had they done that,
right,
than they called again for the destruction of Israel and appealed to their major sponsor, which is Iran. And we heard yesterday from the United Nations Special Envoy to the Middle East, mm-hmm, Mladenov, also criticizing Hamas, saying you should be concentrating on restoring humanitarian aid and uplifting the conditions for the people in Gaza. And here we hear from Special Envoy, Trump's Special Envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, and he says, Palestinians deserve so much better than this. We must find a better path towards peace and prosperity.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And finally, a filmmaker faces harsh criticism for saying Hasidim killed in the Shoah, in the Holocaust, for refusing to blend in.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, I'm sure a lot of you, myself included, have Netflix. I mean, we all have Netflix and chill. And there will be a movie on Netflix about the Hasidim. And I think the show that she was on was Charlie Rose. And she said, that, and this is filmmaker Heidi Ewing, she said that Hasidic Jews were targeted by the Nazis during the Shoah, or the Holocaust, partly because they refused to blend in. And she said that the vast majority of Hasidic Jews were exterminated in the Holocaust because they kept wearing their specific kind of clothing. They were sort of loud and proud about their identity, and the vast majority died in the Holocaust. Well, as you can imagine, this has caused a lot of outrage, myself included, because every Jew, whether you were secular, whether you were religious, whether you were observant, whether you weren't, whether you were assimilated, whether you weren't, from newborn babies to the eldest in the community, were targeted for slaughter, for murder.
And no matter how much you proclaimed any other religion, if you were born Jewish, you were Jewish, and no matter what it was that you wore.
No, absolutely. And she goes on to say that in the midst of the sweeping genocide, Hasidic Jews suffered disproportionate losses during the Holocaust because they were more easily identified and had more difficulty hiding. I mean, I think the only thing that I can actually agree from there is that these once flourishing Hasidic communities were decimated. But it doesn't mean that they were specifically targeted because they dressed different to everybody
else. And I'm sorry, nor was it disproportionate. It was, if you were Jewish, that it was a disproportionate attack on Jews, But there was no measure there. Certain Jews didn't get away with being Jewish more than the Hasidim didn't get away with it. It's a nonsensical statement. Absolutely. Incredible, incredible. Has she apologized for that?
She hasn't as yet, but I think because of pressure put on her by a Chabad Rabbi Mordechai Lightstone, because he condemned it. He said this is appalling. It's an insult to the many Jews across the religious spectrum that were killed in the Holocaust. The Orthodox Jewish Public Affairs Council also condemned her comments. Rabbi Abraham Pooper, who is the Associate Dean and Director of Global Social Action at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, has also condemned her. So I think she bears the issuing an apology and soon.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks there. We're going to have to leave it. Thank you again for taking the earlier slot. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We'll be back with Rolene tomorrow afternoon in the normal slot, which is 10 minutes past 5. That was the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.